The term silent film is really a misnomer. Silent films almost always were shown with some form of live musical accompaniment, and in the 21st century, the Alloy Orchestra has made a name for itself performing live original scores for some of the silent period's greatest films. The Alloy Orchestra will be in El Paso this weekend to perform with one of the most popular films of the silent period, The Phantom of the Opera. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is Ken Winokur, one-third of the dynamic trio known as the Alloy Orchestra, who will perform live tomorrow evening at the historic Plaza Theater. And I'm delighted to have Ken Winokur back on the program today. Good morning, Ken.
Morning, Charles. Good to be here.
I know you've been busy touring. I think this evening you're up in Albuquerque also playing with Phantom of the Opera. I should mention that the Alloy Orchestra makes a huge sound with just three versatile performers, yourself, Terry Donahue, and Roger Miller. How long has the Alloy been writing and performing music for silent films?
We've been at this for 22 years now.
Wow. That would put you sort of in the vanguard of contemporary groups who are writing music and performing live with silent films?
It's true. When we started, there was very few people doing this. There was another group in California called the Clubfoot Orchestra. And there were some individual musicians playing piano or organ accompaniment. But for the most part, what has now become a popular trend of doing new scores with orchestras or ensembles, it's just picked up steam. There's a lot of people doing it now, but not so many back then.
Is that just because you blazed a trail, or are audiences sort of rediscovering the joys of silent film?
Well, I think all of the above. Certainly, one of the things that happened is the advent of first VHS and then DVDs and Blu-rays. People could finally see silent films for the first time in decades. They were all but lost. They were put on the shelf or destroyed, and nobody was showing them for a while. When they came out on VHS to be rented in your local store, people began to realize there were just some amazing films from this period.
And of course, the biggest draw is that when you're performing, you get to see, the audience gets to see these silent films huge on a big screen with that live music filling whatever space you're performing in. And the experience of that, is almost indescribable. It's fully dimensional. You know, we talk about the rise of 3D now, and I just think that the engagement that comes having live music playing in the room just sucks you right into these films.
It was the first multimedia performance back in the day, the teens and 20s, when there would have been these great projections and live orchestras before computers stole the word from us. This was a compelling multimedia experience.
Some listeners who are attendees of past Plaza Classic Film Festivals may remember your performances for Metropolis and Underworld in 2010 and 2011, respectively. And I want to ask you, if people have not heard you play, this is very, very modern contemporary music. You're not trying to reconstruct what audiences might have heard in 1925 when they went to see Phantom. And you have an amazing array of instruments in the Alloy Orchestra that include, I think, instruments that would be recognizable to most people, as well as things like junk, accordion, musical saw, pieces of ductwork. How did you fine-tune the array of sounds and instruments that you wanted to compose music for?
Well, it actually changes pretty wildly from film to film. When we're playing Metropolis, which is this giant, over-the-top science fiction film where things are blowing up, the city is collapsing, we can bang and crash to our heart's content on all the junk metal and the huge amounts of drums and, very aggressive, exciting melodies. You'll find with Phantom of the Opera, we've taken the opposite tack. It's a very subtle film. It's very tense. It's really action-based. And so we created music that fits along with that. So it's much more melodic. It should be very creepy.
You've seen this film and performed with it, I'm guessing, many, many, many times. So you probably better than most to have a unique perspective on the title itself. What do you think makes the Phantom of the Opera resonate still today?
Well, it's a good question. Universal made their kind of mark doing monster films or horror films, but the monsters or the horror characters are sympathetic. I mean, if you think about Frankenstein was sort of misunderstood. He didn't want to go on that rampage, you feel sorry for him. Well, this very same thing is true with the Phantom. You can really get into the character of this Phantom. He's a disfigured man, no explanation why. He lives in the basement of the opera because he's sort of shunned from society. And he falls in love with the beautiful opera singer, and he wants to have her. But, you know, he's, you know, just not going to be able to. So, you know, you can really get involved in the characters and the story. The set design, the cinematography is so gorgeous and so lush. It's a real visual treat to watch this film. And then, you know, people really like horror. So this is the granddaddy of them all. This one, along with Nosferatu, which is another film we also do, are pretty much thought of as being the progenitors of the kind of horror film that we see today. And if you look at these films, and then you look at almost any film now, you'll recognize where this all came from.
One of the lesser stories that are told about the Phantom of the Opera and your performance with it is, we've been talking about music, but you were central to helping restore the print that we're going to be seeing Sunday evening, and it arguably is perhaps the best 35 millimeter print that exists of this title. Tell me a little bit how you went from being a composer and orchestra member to restoring the Phantom of the Opera.
Well, it's not too far from my history. I have had a long history of being a media producer, still photographer, audio recordist, slideshows, you name it. What happened is, we found available from a company that was going to go out of business that we could purchase what is arguably the best negative, at least in the United States, of this film. And we set out to make a restored print that not only utilized the really gorgeous negative, but brought the original color scheme back into the film. When this thing came out in 1925 and then was reissued in 1929, it was one of the most elaborately colored films that had come out there. It had experimental Technicolor scenes, the same Technicolor you see in all those beautiful 60s and 70s movies, only a somewhat primitive version of it. It had a lot of color tinting, had some hand stamping. Anyway, every scene was colored. Some of them were intricately hand-colored kind of thing. So anyway, we put a lot of time and effort working with a French company called Lobster in trying to recreate the way this should have looked at the time. And I think it's surprising to people. We actually get comments, how could you have the nerve to go and color this film? People are so upset about the way Turner did some of the great classics. Well, we have made every effort to put this film back in color the way it was supposed to be in the 20s.
And this would have been one of the big films in the 20s that actually had scores written for it. Most films did not, but this was one of the big ones that did. And of course, those scores are lost to us now. But again, you're not looking to historically recreate these things. But I am curious, when you sit down with a silent film, and you've scored many silent films, they're all listed on your website, you run through the film, I presume, silently. What's the first thing that strikes you that begins, that is the kernel of what will become the music for you?
Well, you know, I actually do the picking of the films among the other guys in the band, and I am always looking for that film that resonates musically with what I think we're good at and what, you know, we're likely to do. We're very good at drama and sometimes excessive, you know, passion. And, you know, so the Phantom of the Opera, which is so dramatic, was an obvious film for us to be able to do. But you're right. We sit down, we watch it all silently. We don't really talk very much about it. And then we literally just put the film up on the computer, put up a couple mics in the room, and we improvise along with it scene by scene and just throw out ideas and sort of wordlessly come up with our own interpretation of what we're seeing on the screen. And we just go scene by scene till we've got some nugget of an idea we like for every scene, and then that starts the long process of going through it again, scene by scene, over and over again, refining those ideas, making them fit the space, adding more themes and melodies and sound effects, how to transition from one scene to the next, basically composing.
Amazing. And the films I've seen you perform to have a strong visual rhythm as well. I'm wondering if that strikes you right off the bat, films that, whether it's Metropolis or Underworld, or the imagery at certain points in those films have a structure to them that I would think would lend itself well to creating the bones of a music score around.
It's exactly true. We've learned to count on the fact that if we're working with a film that is really good, over the years, it's been pretty obvious which are the best loved of these films. They invariably have a rhythm to them. Mm-hmm. There's an editing that really has a musical quality to it. Whereas, you know, if you're writing a symphony that's an hour and a half long, you've got to very carefully think about that flow of energy. Are you going to start it slow and build it up? And how do you kind of do that? Well, we've learned with the silent film scores, we can trust the flow of energy that's already built into that film. So it's our job to amplify it, but try to stay out of its way in a certain way.
Fascinating. I mean, you're sort of the rock stars of the silent world, in my view. You've performed around the world with silent films. Do you have a favorite experience?
Oh, gosh, a favorite experience. Well, there have been some great ones. Most of the ones that you remember right offhand are we're in Telluride at the Telluride Film Festival, and we're doing a film called Lonesome. And there's a big storm scene in the film at Coney Island. The hero and his new girlfriend get separated. It's very dramatic. And outside in the mountains of Telluride, Colorado, this unbelievable lightning storm just erupts. So on screen, we're seeing it, and we're in a giant steel Quonset hut, too. So this whole room is just resounding with thunder claps and whatever. So it was very exciting. And then the power goes out. And this is the first time this had happened to us. You can turn off the synthesizer when the power goes out, but not the drummers. So we're in the midst of a very over-the-top kind of drum duet between myself and Terry, my partner. And power goes out. We just keep playing. We improvised, played a improvised version of the themes that we were already doing. And then about a minute later, the power comes back on again. We slip right back into our written score. And after the fact, a bunch of people come up to me and said, "Oh, that was really great. It's so interesting. You decided to put that pause in the film in the middle." But we were convincing enough they didn't actually guess that the catastrophe had struck.
Impromptu.
Oh, I got another one. Oh, this one's great. This happened just last year. We were showing Phantom of the Opera, and I've been telling you, we put an incredible amount of time and money into this film, and it caught in the gate of the projector right at the end of the film where the Phantom is basically being caught and beaten up, and we watched the print actually burn in the gate. And Terry, my partner, looked over at me, and he said he has never seen me look so unhappy. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, our precious print. So we go up to the projection booth, and they get it back together, and they finish the show, and the show's fine. And we go and we look at it, and it turned out that when it had stopped, it had only burned one single frame, which meant that you could actually splice it back together and nobody would be the wiser. But when we looked at that frame, the whole frame was burned except for the Phantom's face, which comes kind of glowingly out of this mist of carbonified acetate film stock. And it's exactly as the Phantom is being killed. And to us, it felt like this was the Phantom saying, you haven't got me yet.
My guest today has been Ken Winokur, manager and one-third of the trio known as the Alloy Orchestra. The Plaza Classic Film Festival presents the 1925 horror classic, The Phantom of the Opera, with the Alloy Orchestra performing its original musical score live at the Plaza Theater tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. More information on the screening is available at plazaclassic.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.